You're listening to the ministry of Potter's House Church, Wandsworth, a Christian Pentecostal church based in South London, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our call is to reach the lost, make disciples, and plant churches. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.
John 6 verse 35, we're in a series called Wellbeing. We will be having another wellbeing session this weekend coming. We've got outreach and wellbeing, and have we got a concert this weekend? Yeah, and so we're going to be busy this weekend. And so also those of you that still would like a wellbeing t-shirt, and we can wear it out as we come on outreach, come and represent, speak to Brother Miles or text him, or let your home group leader know, and we can get one of those to you. We're believing God for good things, and so today is a little bit of a difficult message, for a few reasons. One is, it's one of these messages which is, the more and more I looked into it, the more and more technical it became, and so it was just touching so many different things that I was like, well, you know, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a professor, I'm not into, you know, someone who has a PhD in nutrition, but also it's something that's going to be a little bit touchy. We're going to talk about something that's a little bit. So look at someone and say it's going to be a little bit touchy. A little bit touchy. Well, I already warned you in this place. Can I say this to you? I love you. I love you, man. I really love you. Amen. Look at someone and say, he loves you. Amen. Look back at them and say, because you need it. That's why we're going to talk about what we're talking about today. We're going to I'm going to talk about living foods. And so we dealt with water the first session. We're talking about well-being, living healthy, and you're just being a well-being, mind, body, soul, spirit, and having everything. And so we've been looking at our bodies. And last week we did exercise. How many have been exercising more? I've been exercising. Listen, if you go on our website, Brother Carl and James, they put together the exercises of what we're doing. So you can be prepared. Excuse me. You can be prepared. So in the week, listen, I'll be honest, I'll put it on. I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to do this, man. I'm going to be ready. Saturday come, I'm not being knackered again. So listen, exercise is good for you. I went through the whole thing of how it helps you with diseases and all of that. And you can go online and get into that. So this Sunday, come out and join with us. It doesn't matter, even if you could only do one. Come and join with us, because one is better than none. They say you are what you eat. And some people are not eating well, and that's really, you know, the where we're going with this. John 6 verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Let's pray. Father, we just ask you right now for your anointing. I pray, Heavenly Father, that your spirit would be in this place. I pray, Father, that you would stir us, give us the energy, give us the ability to run for you, to live for you. Father, I pray that you would save in this place, redeem in this place, restore, heal, and most of all, reveal your Son, Jesus Christ, in this place. We're here with open hearts and a hunger for you. Give us living bread in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Let's start with this. We all know we have to eat. How many know we all have to eat? If you don't eat, I spoke about this in the water sermon. If you don't eat, I think you can go maybe 6 weeks without eating. After that, you're going to die. So you could drink water, and maybe you could last for about 6 weeks. But after that, you're going to die. So we have to eat. But the question is this. Why do we eat? Why do we eat? Well, let me just make a statement here. We eat to live. We do not live to eat. There is a big difference. And some people, you're not eating to live. It's like you live to anyway. I was thinking about this. I haven't read this in a book, but as I analyzed it and thought about it, we can really extrapolate three reasons why we eat. One is health. Two is energy. Three is pleasure. And so this is why we eat. But the question, let's personalize it a little bit more. why do you eat? If you want to answer that question, look at what you eat. Because what you eat reveals that question of why you eat. See, many of us, and listen, I'm saying us, so I'm in there, yeah? So I love you, you love me. Many of us, the food that we eat has far too much sugar in it, has far too much salt in it, and has the wrong types of fats in it. And what that tells us, when you're eating these types of food that has all of these sugars in it and these fats in it and all of that, you are eating and I am eating, we eat, not for health, not just for fuel. Our priority is pleasure. That's what we've done. We've said, no, I eat for pleasure. And so all of these foods, see, the way that they've manufactured food now, because we're going to talk about dead food, processed food. The way that mankind has manufactured food, he wants to make money. Yeah. Every manufacturer that makes food is in it for money. Yeah. They're not just in it for your well-being, they're in it for money. And that means the more you eat, the more you buy, the more money they get. So it's an advantage to them that you eat more. And so what they've designed and developed is that if we put more sugar in it, if we put more salt in it, and if we put the wrong type of fat in it, these fats in it, you'll eat more. And the reason why that is because these things stimulate you. They've done studies where they've seen people, they're measuring their brain activity. And while they're eating these things, they're like, my days, this is bad. And as they're eating it, their brain is getting more stimulated. So they're like, yes, I want more of this. This is why when we did the whole series on water, people, listen, you don't have to do a series telling people to drink Coke. You don't have to, because listen, Coke is full of sugar. I love it, stimulate. Drink water, water's boring. It doesn't stimulate me the same way. And so if you're eating these things, I was the worst at eating these things. It brings a pleasure to you. Now, let me make a statement here, and you must understand this. You're doing something that has pleasure in it, but there are things in life that bring pleasure and problems. You got to understand this about life. You can't just think, well, if it brings pleasure, yes, it stimulates me. I love this. Then it's good. No. There are many things in life that bring pleasure. You do it, woo! I love it, I'm enjoying it. But it also can bring a problem. Some of you, if you just would understand that, your life, I'm not even talking about your diet, your life could be a lot more effective. What I want to talk about is dead foods. We're talking about processed food. Now, I'm not going to get into all of this to a deep level, so you do your own study on it. But what we're talking about is really man-made food or processed food that man has kind of tampered with. And so they've done studies that they said, listen, these foods that people eat, processed food, it could be the cause of some cancers. It could be the cause of heart disease. Could be the cause of becoming a diabetic, having diabetes. Could be it's your cholesterol. It builds up cholesterol. And so what it does is it builds up your blood pressure. You know, like if you have like a hose with water and you turn on the tap and you have a hose of water. Or let me give you another illustration. When I was a kid, I'd like to turn on the tap when I was a kid in the bathroom, turn it on. And then I learned that if you put your thumb on it, you could squirt the water everywhere. The same water. So I'd always be doing it. Whoo! It's all over. And my mom would go crazy. What was you doing in here? Just washing my hands. Because what it is when you restrict the outflow, it builds pressure. And so what cholesterol is doing, when you're eating all this madness, it's getting into your body, into your veins, where your blood flows through, and it starts to build up. And now your blood can only flow for a smaller gap, it's building up the pressure. Heart attack, strokes. Because of cholesterol. Simple as that. Many people, they don't even know that. Because they're eating these, what do we mean about processed food? Fast food. sweets, cakes, fizzy drinks. I've got a slide here. Let's put this slide up here. This is how much sugar is in these products. See, look, this is where, you know, I'm putting myself in there, because I like a Red Bull from time to time. And Red Bull is up there. And so my wife is, amen, tell him. She's always saying, no Red Bull. Now, think about this. Now, I want to say this now. So each one of those cubes is like a tablespoon of sugar. Now, according to the American Heart Association, the AHA, the maximum amount of sugar, added sugar, sorry, that a man should have is 19 spoons a day, and a woman is 60 spoons a day. That's what he says. If you want to debate it, I'm not going to debate. I'm not a scientist. That's what I read. Think about this now. Some of you like a Coke. You like a nice Coke. Think about this now, yeah? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. You're well over 6 there. So there was another study, and this is what it said, and I'm just throwing this out there. You take your own research. You find better research, you want to drink Pepsi all day. I found another research. I said I could drink Pepsi all day, every day, no problem. Think about this now. If your body cannot burn up this sugar, it turns it into fat. So let's just say what it says is right. Woman should have about 6 added. You drink one Coke, you've already had too much sugar for the day. That's before you've even eaten a meal, before you've ever had anything. That's too much. And then what happens is this. Let's say that you're having an extra 6 spoonsful of sugar a day. What the body does is turns it into fat. They did a study and they said if somebody ate 6 teaspoons of sugar extra a day and they did not burn it up, by the end of the year, it would be like 3 2-liter bottles of fat. And we hang it around your body. Imagine if, you know, 2-liter bottle of Coke, we emptied it out, we poured fat into it, and then we hung it on your body. And then you had to walk around with that. That's what it is. See, you start to realize, hold up, why am I eating these things? Now, many years ago, when I started to look, it's gone quiet in here. Hey! Yeah, I need a cool bus to beat it, man. Redirection. Okay. I remember sitting somewhere in a restaurant. I take people out, we sit there, and I looked at Coke, and I don't know why I even looked at it. I looked at it, and I was like, wow, is there that much sugar in it? This must have been about 4 years ago, and I was like, you know what? I need to stop drinking this thing, man. This thing is poisonous. People are telling me all the time, Pause, have you ever seen what they did, what Coke can do? Put a penny in a can of Coke, or leave Coke in a jar for like 10 minutes? It's all crazy. How many know that, Coke, there isn't a Coke tree. There isn't a Coke fruit. Now, listen, I'm not saying that we can't treat ourselves and have, if you have one Coke, you're going to hell. No. What I'm saying is this. We're talking about a lifestyle. We're talking about well-being. See, this is all I'm going to say about this. I'm not saying, you know what, let's become hippies and vegetarians and eat like cows. No. I like meat. But I will say this. Maybe some of us need to care more about what we put in our body than what we put on our body. Because you all look good today. And most of you spent a few hours thinking about what you was going to put on your body. And you've spent much of your accumulated wealth on what you put on your body. But what about what you put in your body? Because what you put on your body does not affect your health. If I come up here with a big Gucci belt, I'm no healthier and I'm no sicker. But what you eat, all of these things that we eat, and listen, there's loads of these things that I found like some sort of spaghetti bolognese that you buy in a can or something, and it had like 10 teaspoons of sugar in it. See, what we should do is, I believe, we should eat for health, energy, and then pleasure. That's the, not many of us, you know why we eat? We eat for pleasure, then energy, and health is last. There is a pleasure to eat, and the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is a gift of God. There's nothing wrong with enjoying. But the Bible also says in Ezekiel 47 verse 12, along the banks of the river on the side, and that will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. They will bear fruit every month because of the waters flowing from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be food and their leaves for medicine. The Bible is saying that there are things that God has designed that are medicine for us. Now let me quickly speak about living foods. That people that do not live to eat, but eat to live. Living foods. Now I believe living foods we could describe as God-made foods. I mean, God didn't make a burger. I'm not saying it's a burger's wrong. God didn't make Coke. I'm not saying it's wrong, but it's not in its purest form. Let me just quickly throw this out there. Many of us, myself included, is that, eating fruit and veg is not really my priority. Let's be honest now. Come on, let's be honest. Come on, you're like, no, Pastor. See, some of you, I've even gone to Nando's with you and I've ordered a salad. And you're like, Pastor, what are you having a salad for, man? Real men don't eat salads. Come on, eat chips. More chips. Because that's how we think sometimes. But actually, if you're willing to eat some veg and fruit with that meat, just a mixed diet, nuts, fish, whole grain, they said that these are the things that it helps you with. It can prevent or help to fight certain cancers. Diabetes, heart disease, helps with asthma, bone health, promotes some things, even help your vision. Anti-inflammatory, so where parts of your bones are getting swollen and you're like, I'm sore. It's sometimes because you're not eating the right things. Your body is getting inflamed in different areas. Lowers your blood cholesterol. Promotes healthy digestion. They say that your stomach, your stomach is just like, your stomach's not like a big bowl. How many know that? It's like a coil and it goes all around here and then you got your colon and all of this. And so they said when they measured it out, when they stretches it out, it could run from basically that computer screen further than that computer screen. That's it. It rolls. That's how much is in you. That's how long it's in you. So think about it now. When you eat food, what you've eaten this morning has got to go. It's got to travel through you. It's got to go all the way through you and come out the other side. We won't talk about that. Now, when you eat fiber, it helps that along the way. When some people don't eat no fiber, they just eat nonsense. They're just eating nonsense. What it is congestion charge. It's like, and I spoke about this. I don't want to go too deep, but some people are not going to the toilet for 2 days. What's happening is that thing is going so slow. But the problem is, it's rotting in you. See, the way that the body wants to work, as it's traveling, the body is taking all the nourishment out of it. Stripping it. Nourishment, vitamins, fiber. Da-da-da-da-da. And it says, we're finished with it. Get rid of it. We don't want it in here no more. We've taken it. Eat some more. Da-da-da-da-da-da. That's how the body works. But when you haven't got no fiber in you, that just stays in there. Clogs up. And it starts to damage and at least the other things. This is why people need to. Food is the main essence of where we get our vitamins, our fiber, calcium, iron, omega-3s, and all these other things that we could talk about. One of the things that I found so interesting when I was looking into this, I always find it hard to pronounce it, but it's antioxidants. And basically, I had already heard about this antioxidants and free radicals, and I was like, what exactly is this thing? And so basically, there are fruits and vegetables, things like kale is high, blueberry. There is a chart of how much antioxidants are in certain things. So there's a reference. So a tomato has 50. I think broccoli has about 130. And they say that blueberries have 200, nearly 1,000. They said it's some funky berry. I can't remember what it was called. It had 1,000. I don't know whether whatever. And so it had a lot more. But this is what it is. In your body, because of every one of us is going through a period of oxidizing. oxidization is basically like when you cut an apple in half, you look at the apple after a while, what color does it go? Brown. Because it's oxidizing. It's rusting, basically. That's what it is. And that's what's happening within us. And the reason why this is because there are molecules in you that are kept together by electrodes, and the electron gets knocked out of its place, and so it breaks down and becomes what you call a free radical. And this free radical now is going around your body, bumping into other molecules and knocking their and taking their electrons, and then they go on. And that goes to your DNA, and it starts to morph into diseases. And what it does is it breaks down the cell, and then that cell breaks down other cells. And this is many times how we get diseases. So this is what this is what we're talking about. When you eat, say like if you have something in you that has an antioxidant in it, the antioxidants go into your body, goes through the blood, and you're eating it, and it finds one of these free radicals, and it actually heals the free radical. So that the free radical can't go around your body and do any more damage. Now, I've obviously simplified it. It's way more technical than that. But that alone tells us this, that God has designed that when we eat these foods that He's made, we are healing ourselves. God has designed it. Man did not put that in there. Man has discovered it. Could it be that we've ignored the way that God has made things? See, and one more thing I'm going to kind of trample on a little bit, and don't get upset with me. White bread. White bread is raped bread. It's been raped. So what they do is they get the grain, whatever you call it, and they strip it of 80% of its nourishment and then grind it up. Then it's gray, so ain't nobody want to eat no gray bread. So then they bleach it to turn it white. So now there's nothing in it. So basically, it's like just plaster, what you're eating. So you're eating this thing and it's filling you up and it's plopping up your belly and plopping along your tract. But there's no nourishment in it. There's nothing in it. You think, why would they sell it? Because they make money. Why do they have to do all of that? Because it lasts longer. Because it lasts longer. See, if it goes off too quick, they don't make money. See, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. Money will make man invent things and do things that is wicked to man. Is food important? Because we're in a church right now, and so many people would be like, you know, this message, man, I didn't come in for... So is food important? And maybe some of you would even think about, did not Jesus say, take no thought on what you would eat, what you would wear, where you would live? Jesus said that, Matthew 6. That's right, He did say that. But nobody walked in here with a potato sack on. You took thought about what you wore. Huh? No one just came up. No one, I don't buy clothes. I just walk out of the house and believe, by faith I'll be clothed. Nobody does that. What Jesus was talking about is that things that you worry about. And we should not be worrying about, or our priority should not be food. But the Bible has a lot to say about food. Let me give you some scriptures here. Let me throw them out. Proverbs 23 verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what he has set before you, and put a knife to your throat. And put a knife to your throat if you are a man given to appetite. What Jesus, listen, what the Bible is saying here, he says, listen, if you cannot control your appetite, you need to make some drastic changes. He's saying, this is what the problem is. He says, you need to make some drastic changes. You need to be like, bro, man, if you, listen, you better back up, back away from the plate, back away from the McDonald's, back away. Proverbs 22 verse 20. Do not mix with a wine bibber. That's a drunkard. How many know Christians shouldn't be just hanging out with drunkards? Getting drunk, hanging out with drunkards, rolling with drunkards. That's not the Christian's thing. Yeah. Every time they see you with a drunkard. Yeah, walk on. No. We know, if someone came into the church drunk, we'd be like, my days. Disrespectful. How can you come up all up in the house of God drunk? Hey, how you doing, bro? If there was an usher drunk, You'd be like, nah, that's wrong, Pastor, man. If I got up here and I was like, hey, whoa, you guys look good today, man. You'd be like, nah, something, the cool Pastor Beer. Don't worry, I got him on speed dial. Just call him. So we know that it's wrong to be drunk, but the Bible says, do not mix with drunks or glutton. Gluttonous eaters of meat. Right there, we've lost most of us. Right there, listen. Right there, we're like, oh my days. I need to sit down, man. I'm not... Listen. Because the Bible is saying it's a different manifestation of the same problem. You're out of control. You're out of control. You cannot control your appetites. The Bible says in Philippians 3 verse 19, whose end is destruction. Who wants to just be destroyed in the end? No, I don't want to be destroyed in the end. Listen, you could have a good beginning and be destroyed in the end. You could have a good middle. Right now, you could be like, yeah, I'll just do my own thing, man. I come to church when I want. I live as I want. I go raving. I do this. I sleep around. I do what I want. And it's working for me. That's fine. You could be good in the middle, good near the beginning, good around. But where will your end be? Where is your end be? Let me tell you, Christian, I don't follow nobody that don't follow God. Because they may look good right now. I've seen many people backslide first 5 years, living good. Party, making money, living good. Their end is destruction. I don't want my end to be destruction. The Bible says, you know who they are? Whose God is their belly. What? Whose God is their belly. Now that doesn't mean that they're worshiping the belly. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That doesn't mean that. Amen. Praise belly. In the name of belly. Belly out, thou art. And that's not what it is. That's not what it's saying. When it means your belly, what it means is your appetites. Your God is your appetites. You are led by your appetites. Because a God, when you have a God, God leads you, tells you what to do. See, you could, right now, you could, today you could step on my toe, offend me. I'm like, these are my new shoes. Why are you? I'm just angry and vexed with you. And God says, go forgive them. Your God, I got to do what you told me to do. Hey, I forgive you. That's what it is. Your God tells you what to do. When your God is your belly says, I want it. I got to do it. It's my God. I want that one as well. But we've already just had that. I want it. I want her. Hey, your belly is telling you all types of things and you're doing it. You're led by your appetites. Can you not look? Hey, that guy's wrong for me. That guy don't want to marry me. That guy's not going to be a good father for my children. That guy's not known for responsibility. So what if, he's got a BMW and a six pack? But I want it. I want a BMW. I want a six pack. And so you do what you want. You are controlled by your appetite. What the Bible is saying is that you should not let your appetites control you. You know why? It's because your appetite is something that can just keep growing. Where you can be like, it's like alcohol. Listen, I was a biggest drunkard before I got saved. Proper drunkard, alcoholic, before I was 22. And what it is, I remember, being as young as at least 12 or 13 when I was getting drunk. And so, the first time you drive, you just drink a half of a very weak lager. And you go, hey, you're tipsy, you're drunk. Before I got saved, I could drink lots of drink. Because my appetite is adjusted now. My body's adjusted. It takes a lot longer. And this is why people don't just grow up start eating loads. People don't just go around being serial fornicators and adulterers. People don't go around being addicted to pornography. Doing things in secret that they're ashamed of. You know what it is? It starts with a little, then a little bit more, then a little bit more, then a little bit more. And this is why God is saying, you can't allow that thing to control you. Because that thing will become insatiable. That thing will just keep gobbling, gobbling, gobbling. You've got to learn to control your appetite. You've got to learn to say no to pleasure, because not all pleasure is good for you. See, this is part of being a Christian. We know it is 2 Timothy 1 verse 17. What does the Bible say? He's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. The word sound mind means self-control. being a Christian is about being self-controlled. Jesus is talking to them in our text and he says, listen, I want to give you living bread. I'm living bread. He says, listen, I want to feed your spirit. Obviously, he wasn't talking about bread that he made in an oven. He was talking about your spirit. So yeah, you have an appetite, you're physical, but you also are a spirit, a soul. Now, your soul or your spirit, are you feeding on live things or dead things? See, there are many dead things that we can live on, but let me just say one of them here. A lot of people, they're feeding their spirit on entertainment. Entertainment is just like sugar and salt, these things that send a reaction to your brain and stimulate you. People are watching things, and the way that it's been made and designed, it's been designed with the music and the camera shot. Hollywood employs the best people that know how to pan the camera to strike your emotions, to play the right music, the right colors, to change the shots enough times, because if you stayed on one shot, you'd get bored. But now it's changing and it's like, yeah, it's excited. This is why you're talking to people that are like, yeah, pastor, I need some help. It's like, I'm here, talk to me. But it's like, this because they used to watch it too much TV. That's what it is. You're talking to, hey, yeah, pastor, I need to, okay, into Twitter and Snapchat and, oh yeah, what is, because it's distracted. All of these things, these entertainments, what they are is like junk food for the soul. People are living for pleasure, but like I said, you got to remember, pleasure can come with problems. Look at someone and say, pleasure can come with problems. I see it play out. Many times I speak to people that are going through problems, problems in their marriage, problems in their finances, problems in their spirit. They're going through problems. And you say, what are you involved in, what you're doing? And you find that they're spending all their time. It's entertainment pouring into their house. Imagine you woke up and you found out, what's that smell, man? And your next door neighbor had put their toilet, that when they flush the toilet, it just goes through a tube and it just lands in your front room, in the corner. What kind of madness is this? Listen, I go next door, the war talk, man. What do you mean by pouring this poison into my house? But many people, that's what your TV is doing. Your TV is pouring poison into your house. You want to get married, you want to live a godly life, and all you do is look at Beyonce or Kardashians. I don't even know, did I say it right? Is that who they are? Implants and... You'll sit down and watch reality TV. You'll watch other people's lives while you sit there and get fat and lazy and carnal. You'll look at other people living their life. They're living their life. You're sitting there. Why am I going to do that? No, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn that thing off. I'm going to throw that thing away. And I'm going to go live my life. I'm going to go out and do something with my life. I'm going to start a business. I'm going to start a ministry. I'm going to be creative. God has given me a brain, given me life. I have legs and hands and eyes and a lot. I can do something with my life. I'm not going to waste my life sitting down watching other people show me a fake side of their life. Christian, listen, you need to get rid of some of those entertainments. Some of the things you've been looking at, it's destroying you. It's having an effect on you. It plays out. You become spiritually obese. Obese. Too much flesh. Too much pride around you. Too much anger. Your marriage is obese. Ministry. I remember when I was a kid, you know, I love sweets. I've always loved sweets, like Haribo's and sweets. When I was a kid growing up, blackjacks. I love those blackjacks. Blackjacks. I don't want to say, maybe they are living food. Maybe God did make blackjacks. No, no, no. False doctrine. Hey, but they did have ones called fruit salads as well. Who knows? Some antioxidants in there. Who knows? But I remember, you know, you're out, you feel it, and then your mom's be back in time for dinner. I'd sit down for dinner, and now I don't want dinner. And my mom would say, you've eaten too many sweets. You've ruined your appetite. Maybe that's what some Christians are doing. So much entertainment. So many things that you're listening to, which is nonsense. So many magazines you're reading. Some of the music you're listening to. It's not this, you know, there's no surprise. When you think about inner city music and this urban music, it's always shooting people and killing. And then we've got an academic a problem with young people shooting people. We make them listen to music about shooting and killing people. Now they're shooting and killing people. Their music. So much of the music is disrespectful to women. A woman is basically a sexual object. That's what it is, a sexual object. A woman just, she wears, listen, a woman, she's just wearing clothes, she's exposing herself, she's moving in a sensual way like I'm an object. Like, basically, I'm an object of your pleasure. Come on. I'm an object of your pleasure. That's what the music is saying. Listen, I've never heard a song that's been like, you know, I met her, and you know what, I really love her, I'd die for her, because I would wait, you know, it's not about me, I asked her, she's not ready yet, and so, you know what, maybe you have, or a song, you know, I love her, you know, she had an accident, she's in a wheelchair, but I still loved her, and I was staying focused to her, you don't hear that. If you hear one, it's one in a million. And then we wonder why we find it so hard for men to respect women. And then we wonder why we don't have many fathers. Because if I was to tell people in here, put your hand up if you grew up with your father and you're under 30. Not many hands go up. Not many hands go up. And we need to hold up, because we're feeding ourselves junk food. We're feeding ourselves this nonsense. It gives a pleasure, yes. Because let me tell you what the basics animal instinct of mankind is. Sex and violence. Those two things give us pleasure. Those two things stir us the most. Because there's something in us that the way that God has designed us, that for those things, we have to energize ourselves the most. And so mankind has tapped into that and said, you know what? Let's just do everything, sex and violence. Sex and violence, because that will energize them the most, and that's what captivates people. But the problem is, it's poisoning us. A few years ago, probably a couple of years ago now, I said to my wife, listen, I need to stop eating these sweets, man, because I'm you know, I think I was about 39, I'm going to turn 40. You know, when you turn 40, you start to think about it. When you're 20, who cares? I'd eat, you know, Haribo's, Daptin Fats, you know, Kentucky Fried Haribo's. I'd eat, if they had it, I would have ate it. I said, you know, I'm not eating Haribo's no more. So I said to my wife, listen, I don't want no, because when we would go shopping, my wife would go around, get, you know, she's getting proper food like rice and, you know, vegetables and that. And then she'd come back round and then bam, there'd just be like 10 packets of Haribo's in the corner underneath like some carrots. So and I obviously doesn't see it, and then we just get to the no, I'll put it on the trolley, I'll put it on the thing. Beep, beep. And I said, you know, I need to stop this now. And I said to my wife, it doesn't come in the house anymore. Doesn't come in the house anymore. That's it, it doesn't come in the house. And when I said that, I can say over the last 2 years, since 2012, I said that, I've probably ate maybe, and I say this because I think I must have. I may have ate 2 Haribos. Not packets, 2 sweets. If that. I don't even think I've ate that. I have never ate it again. Never ate it again. Pastor, that's so good. No, it's simple. I just don't bring it in my house. See, there's some people here. See, when I got saved, I'm going to say something here. This is going to be very radical. Very radical to some of you. Very radical. When I got saved, I got rid of my television. I did not have it anymore. I got rid of it. You know why? It's because 90% what was on there was not godly. It wasn't what God was about. It's nothing to do with God. everybody's sleeping with each other, cheating on each other, lying about each other. And I said, you know what? I don't want this. I made a decision. I've been saved 19 years. I've been going to the same church. I'm married for 11 years to the same woman. I have a little bit of consistency in my life. I meet a lot of people that call themselves Christians, and they're like this. And if you, I guarantee it, if you go to their house, you will see CDs or MP3s or television or websites they're visiting that would be poisoning them. And in their heart, they want consistency, but they don't understand that at the same time, they're poisoning themselves. Christian, if you're serious, you've got to make some decisions. You've got to make some decisions. Because I broke a habit by saying it's not coming in my house. And if you really want to break a habit, sometimes you've got to make some drastic decisions. Let me close with this. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. What I loved about this study that I did is, like I said, what I really found the most interesting is when I look at the antioxidants in these fruits and how they deal with these free radicals. And really what happens is this. I need some guys to help me. Michael, oh yeah, Bukau, and Steely, come up. And so these two guys here, standing here. So these guys here, sit perfect. So you come over here. So these two guys here, this is a healthy cell. And so between them, there's an electron or whatever it is, it's keeping them healthy. But what happens is, because of pollution, life, no eating the wrong things, doesn't matter what happens, we're all going to be breaking down a bit. And so the electron between these two breaks down, and when these two go off, they go and touch others. And when they touch others, because they're jacked up now, that other, what they do is they take the electron from that other not cell, the other thing, because of M, I said it before, molecule, there you go, takes it from the other molecule, and now that molecule is a free radical. Once this breaks, these two are like free radicals. I want you to just run around in the front middle here, just run around in a circle. in and out of each other, in and out, run out, yeah. This is what's happening in your body. Go back there. This is what's happening in your body. These things are just running around, and they keep hitting DNA cells and doing all this madness. And what they're doing is they take the electrons from other molecules. That's what they do. They take electrons because they have an electron missing. That's why there's something defect about them. So they're going around taking electrons from healthy ones. But what you have is an antioxidant, and you eat it, and it goes through your bloodstream, and it's released. And what it does is, I want you guys to be running around, yeah? Once he touches you, you guys just go back to your place. Go touch him. Go back to your seats. But you know how it does it? This is the amazing thing, is that the antioxidant can give the free radical an electron without becoming a free radical. That's the amazing thing of it. See, the antioxidant can come in and it says, I don't know what it's saying or what it does, but it says, no. Here is an the thing you need. I've got one of those, and it gives it, and it doesn't become a free radical itself. See, every other molecule that they kept taking electrons from became free radicals. And I was thinking about this, is that this is living food, that you're eating this thing and it has within it the ability to heal you. The antioxidant is not like the normal molecule. It can give electron without becoming a free radical. This is how people are. Many times we've been damaged and we go around life, and the other people that we interact with, we damage them. I was thinking about this lecture on this thing that keeps together. What is the thing that keeps us together? I was thinking, what is the thing that keeps us together? What is the thing that mankind, like, think, what is the thing that God has given mankind that he expected from the very beginning to keep everything together? And I thought, it's love. Love keeps a family together. Love keeps a marriage together. This is why when a family loses its love, its electron, it's running around, gossiping to the uncle about the aunt. Isn't that true? This is why a marriage, when the marriage loses its electron, they're running around, fighting each other, stabbing and biting and kicking. This is why there are many people that have been in relationships and they've been hurt. And then they themselves go into relationships and hurt other people. This is why there are people that come into the church and they've been hurt in the world, but they come into the church and they bring their gossip into the church. They bring their rebellion into the church. They bring their pain into the church. But Jesus says, listen, I want to give you living food. Well, Jesus is saying, listen, if you will partake of me, when he died on the cross, he gave us his blood. And just like in the natural, these antioxidants flow through blood. Jesus is the living bread. And through his blood, there is an antioxidant that is flowing. And that even though the very thing that you need, he gives you his love. See, Jesus is the one that heals us. He gives us the very thing he needs. See, you can come to an altar today and meet with Jesus and partake of Jesus, and he gives you what you need, that you're no longer bitter. Listen, I've met some bitter people, man. Bitter. Listen, can I say, so can I be honest? I've met some bitter women. But really and truly, you start, you're like, that's just so bitter. Look at her face, always screwing up. Don't talk to me, don't talk. You're scared of her. But you get to know and you realize, whoo, she's been through some things. She, whoo, go ahead. Listen, if people treated me like that, I'd be bitter. But I've seen the same women come into church and Jesus, like an antioxidant, meet them, touch them, and give them his love. And now they're like, yeah. They're like, yeah. I'm not running around doing damage anymore. This is what Jesus wants for us. What about you, Christian? Do you have enough of Jesus in you that when you, listen, when we go in the world, today I was driving to church, there was a guy, young guy, had like a, this convertible. You know, when people get a bit too excited, music's blaring. And so he's driving, cutting into everybody, looking around. You can barely see the thing. Poor people do that. Poor people that want to look rich do that. I mean, you don't see the Queen doing that. Come on, Charles. You don't see Richard Branson doing that. You ever see Richard Branson? Richard Branson just looks like nobody, man. It's people that don't have money that always got to show you they got money. What am I saying? As you interact with people, people are hurting in the world. And what we need is to be people that have enough of Jesus that we go into the world like an antioxidant. That when we interact with them, even though they take from us, what they take heals them. See, today you're all in church. Praise God, it's good to see you in church. But really, it's for you to receive from Christ that antioxidant, that living bread, so that when you go back home to your mum, when you go back home to your father, when you go back home to your children, you don't make more problems, you make solutions. You can only do that when you are an antioxidant. If you're a normal molecule, they're going to take your electron, and that's when you're going, You're right. That's what it is, isn't it? People, they did this to me, they did that to me. You need to become an antioxidant. You need that flowing through your life. What we need is living food. The Bible says this, last scripture, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give to you, because God the Father has set his seal on him. The Bible says, do not labor for the food which perishes. Listen, today I've preached about bad food. Bad food takes life. Good food gives life for a short time. Jesus' food is for eternity. Labor for the eternal. He says this endures. What does endures? It means it will last. When everything else fades, when eventually your body fades away, when you breathe your last breath, this body will fade away. When everything, in 100 years' time, all of us would have faded away. In 100 years' time, we could, okay, let's say 200. I can guarantee in 200 years' time, none of you will be here. These chairs probably won't be here. This carpet won't be here. It would have all faded away, broke down, destroyed. But the Bible says, if you have made Jesus your Savior, your soul will endure and still be left with him. You will go to be with him in heaven. That's what I want. Amen. Let's labor for that. Hallelujah. I want every head bowed, every eye closed.
We hope you've been blessed, edified, and challenged by this sermon to reach the lost, make disciples. For more information on who we are and what we do, visit us online at www.phcwandsworth.com.